If God blessed you with a son or a daughter, can you imagine the painful process of releasing your child to a broken and hostile world? It not only seems outlandish, but unthinkable. Yet that's precisely what happened when God the Father relinquished his only son to break into human history and redeem mankind forever. What began so innocently when the baby Jesus arrived in Nazareth ultimately led to pain and rejection. Today on Insight for Living, we're setting everything aside to focus entirely on this supreme expression of sacrifice. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, God's Astonishing Love.
Why would Jesus be sent to this planet where he would be from the very outset misunderstood, maligned, mistreated, and ultimately rejected? Why? The why is answered in God's astonishing love. That's why. Before you have loved, you have God. And before you have his sending his son, you have his loving the world. So much did God love you and me. So much that he gave. God is love. He is love. Before he demonstrates the love, he is in himself love. You cannot define God sufficiently, as hard as you may try ever to define him, without using and including the word love. A.W. Tozer writes this: from God's other known attributes, we may learn much about his love. Because God is self-existent, his love has no beginning. Because God is eternal, his love can have no end. This is the Christmas story. It's the part that's left out. We rush to the baby and then to the nativity scene and on to the childhood, and we don't stop to go back before all of that and bring ourselves into the picture, because our own lovelessness eclipses something as magnificent and, in fact, as astonishing as God's love. We have nothing on earth to compare it to. Nothing. Because with each of us, there is an end to how long we keep loving, how long we keep loving. We get away with that by calling it tough love. Or we assuage our own guilt by saying, after the way they've treated us, I mean, it's not even logical to love. You think God's love is logical? It loses all logic when you think about your life and I think about mine. Because we try to convince ourselves that God's love is a little like our love, except he's just older and he's in heaven. It's nothing at all like our love. It's a love that is so astonishing. I can work on this message for 30, 40 minutes or more to deliver it, and I still feel so inadequate to convey it to you. Because I, like you, am limited with human vocabulary and a human conscience that, like you, plagues me in the dark, dark moments of my own life. And in all the darkness, no darkness affects him. He keeps on loving. That's why I wanted to include Romans chapter 8. Look, that's why I felt that the message wouldn't be complete without what Paul writes in Romans 8. Look at verse 35. It's a great question. You got to ask it to yourself. Can anything ever separate you or me from this kind of love? In case you're tempted to say, well, yes, I can think, stop right there. Because in the verses that follow, he takes away all reason for yes. All reason. Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or we're persecuted, or we're hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? And let me add, even though we may have deserved some of that, hungry because we were irresponsible in our job and we've lost our job, so we're hungry, Does that mean he doesn't love us? You may be hearing these words and can remember having caused a divorce in a marriage that was once strong, or maybe multiple divorces, realizing now that there has been little to draw someone else to you in light of your habits and lifestyle. Maybe you've been addicted to alcohol or prescription drugs or drugs of another kind, and it's the best kept secret as you go from week to week around people of this church. Maybe you have a criminal record, or you've had your driver's license revoked, or you have failed at work due to irresponsibility. You've deserved what you have gotten. Maybe you have strong doubts about certain things that other people seem to embrace freely, and you live with these questions and doubts. Maybe your walk as a Christian isn't strong, but it's erratic. Maybe you don't read the Bible. Maybe you flunked out of school. Perhaps you've made stupid choices in life, and you struggle with anger and temper and lust. Maybe you're lazy or offensive to others, and you lack motivation to change, and you are undisciplined, and you're overweight. You don't respond well when you're criticized. You feel insecure. My list could go on and on and on, and I may not have even touched on that which keeps you from feeling like a God who is described in this book as loving you could not possibly mean that for you. On this Christmas season, I have great news. Nothing can separate you from this love. Why, the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day, we're like slaughtered sheep. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And as if that isn't enough, look at the list that follows. Look at the list. I am convinced, the old King James says, I am persuaded. I am confident that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. I want to stop right there. Paul doesn't, but just at that period, pause and think about that. Nothing can ever separate you from a loving God. Ask about you, his answer would be, I love her. I love him. I love him. I love her. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons and demonic powers. Neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell, look at that, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above us or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He never, ever pushes us out and says, get out, get away from me. That's enough. His love is infinite. His love is constant. His love is unconditional. And of all things, it includes you and it includes me. In my reading this week, I came across a story that reminded me of the days of my childhood. I had the privilege of being born into a family of this greatest generation in the United States of America. Far from perfect, far from it, but great people. My mom and dad, Cynthia's mom and dad. I remember December 7, 1941, we're in the little two-door black Ford sedan my dad had bought that year, a new 41 Ford, driving down to Karankaway Bay for a little bit of pre-Christmas vacation time. And I heard the voice of a man who spoke with static on the radio of our little car as he called that day a day of infamy. And my mother turned around and said to the three of us, sit in the back seat, be quiet, children. President Roosevelt is speaking. We pulled over. Our car was as silent as this room. as we heard of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, my mother began to cry. Remember it like it was yesterday. Pulled out her little handkerchief and buried her face. And my dad goes, when the speech ended, turned it off. Turned the car around. We went back home. He said, we have no business vacationing with our boys now at war. That's a great generation. We're not going to go have fun now that we're at war. And from that moment until peace returned in 1945, I remember the days of rationing. I remember my dad working two jobs to the point of having a nervous breakdown. I remember my mother making a bowl of stew go more days than normal with a little more water. I remember my dad and mother teaching us about rationing. Every child, every week, gets a roll of toilet paper. So he'd send us in every week. Each one of us would get a roll. And they'd go in. So we had five rolls, five people. So we counted the squares. Every time we were in the bathroom, count the squares. It's rationing. I was raised with that. So when I read a story about World War II, I was touched. A group of soldiers was fighting in the rural countryside of France. During an intense battle, one of the American soldiers was killed. His comrades were brokenhearted. They couldn't leave his body on the battlefield, so they decided to give him a Christian burial. That's the least they could do. They remembered a church a few miles behind the front lines whose grounds included a small cemetery surrounded by a white fence. After receiving permission to take their friend's body to that cemetery, they set out for the church and found it just before sunset. A priest, his bent over back and frail body betraying his many years, responded to their knocking as he stumbled to the door. His face, deeply wrinkled and tan, was the home of two fierce eyes that flashed with wisdom and passion. Our friend was killed in battle, they blurted out, and we wanted to give him a church burial. Apparently, the priest understood enough English and could speak just enough as he spoke very broken English. I'm sorry, he said, but we can bury only those of the same faith here. Weary after many months of war, the soldiers simply turned to walk away. But the priest called after them, you can bury him outside the fence. Cynical and exhausted, the soldiers dug a grave in the dark, buried their friend just outside the white fence. They finished long after nightfall. The next morning, the entire unit was ordered to move on, and the small group raced back to the little church for one final goodbye to their friend in the shallow grave. When they arrived, they couldn't find the gravesite. Tired and confused, they knocked on the door of the church. They asked the old priest if he knew where they had buried their friend. It was dark last night, and we were exhausted. We must have been disoriented. A smile flashed across the old priest's face. Well, after you left last night, I could not sleep. So I went outside early this morning, and I moved the fence. That's Christmas. Jesus did more than move the fence. He tore it down. There is no fence. Remember, he so loved the world. Let me say to you who feel like trash, who've lived a life that you hope no one knows who's sitting around you, you who have shame and scandal and heartbreak, a trail of wrongs that others may not even find themselves able to believe if you were to tell them the whole story. You are the one I'm talking to today especially. I'm not talking to righteous people. I'm talking to sinners who come thinking maybe there's something here inside the fence that might help me. But you haven't found it Until today, now you realize the fence is torn down. We're all in the circumference of his love. Trust me, if he'll let me preach, he'll accept you and let you believe him. Bow with me, will you? Just sit there quietly. Keep your eyes closed. Do a quick rehearsal of your past. Don't leave out the bad part. Include it. God sees it all. He knows it all, and while knowing it all, he never stopped loving you, nor will he. You may have even broken the hearts of others. I'm sure you have. You maybe have messed up the lives of your kids. I'm sure you have. You may not have been the spouse that you had wanted to be and vowed to be when you were at the altar. Who is? But today I want you to know you are loved by God. You cannot do anything so bad that he'll stop it. Nor does he want you to try to earn it. It's an unearnable love we'll learn about next time. Sit right there. Give your heart to Jesus Christ right now. Don't wait. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to simplify it any further. God loves you. His plan for you is to have a life with him that is full and enriching, heartbreaking as some of it may be. His plan includes not only your life, but beyond your death. He's mapped it all out. He's able to lead you into it, but you must take him as your God and Savior. God so loved you that he gave his one and only Son for you. If you believe in him, you will never perish. That's right. You don't have to work for it. You have nothing you have to earn. You don't have to help him move the fence. The fence has been torn down, and Christ has come for you to be your Savior. Trust him now. Right there, right where you're sitting. Trust him now. Simple prayer. Lord God, I don't deserve your Son, but I believe you sent him for me. And I take him now as my Savior. Thank you for coming into my life, forgiving my sins. If we can help you in your journey, we want to do that. That's why we're here. That's what this place is all about. Let us know. We'll help you. Thank you, Father, for your great love for us. We'll never deserve it. We cannot earn it. But long before we ever thought of you, you thought of us. And even before you sent your Son, you had a love for us, and we're grateful. We trust in him. We believe in him. Thank you for removing the fence. Thank you, dear Father, for the reason behind the story. And thank you that it is a real love like we've never found in any other. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And all of us said, Amen.
Jesus loves me.
This familiar favorite is performed by the Children's Choir at Stonebriar Community Church. For more resources, visit us at insightworld.org. This choir provides a beautiful way to capture the essence of Christmas. You're listening to Insight for Living and a message from Chuck Swindoll titled, God's Astonishing Love. While you're with us for this program today, there's a global audience joining. While you're with us for this program today, there's a global audience joining you as well. Insight for Living is heard in multiple languages and on more than 2,000 radio stations around the world. And with the advent of the mobile app and the internet, anyone with a cell phone can hear the practical Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. It's all made possible because loyal listeners step forward and give. So as we conclude another year of ministry together, we appeal to your generosity today. Thanks for doing your part in helping others come to terms with this simple message, Jesus loves me, this I know. Chuck?
What could possibly be more breathtaking than witnessing the birth of your children? Oh, I'll never forget looking into the innocent faces of our four little ones. Such joy mixed with fear. And I'll never forget the first time I prayed with a new believer. It's an experience that to this day thrills me, when men and women choose to walk in newness of life. At Insight for Living Ministries, we feel fortunate to witness new life on a regular basis. Whether it's someone responding to the gospel in North America or someone hearing the good news far beyond our borders in their own language. By God's grace, many people say yes to new life in Christ. And now we're calling on you to join us in what we're calling Vision 195. It's an invitation to make disciples in all 195 countries in the world. Your donation is applied directly to providing Insight for Living on your station, right here. But a portion allows us to share what you've enjoyed at home to people far beyond our borders, places like Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and on the other side of the world in mainland China and beyond. Paul wrote this, "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." But before there's new life, before someone chooses to become a disciple, he must first hear the good news. And the only thing that stands in the way of making disciples is the financial capacity to do so. Can I call on you today to give generously to Vision 195? Your gift is critically important as we conclude another year of ministry. God is revealing Himself around the world. Together, let's tell the world about Jesus, one new life at a time.
You can respond right now by using one of two methods. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or you can give a donation online at insight.org. Jesus called each of us to go and make disciples. When you make a donation to Insight for Living, you're responding to His command in a tangible way, as together we make disciples here at home on your station and in other parts of the world as well. And when you give your end-of-the-year donation today, we'll provide a CD message from Chuck called What If God Chooses You to Do Something Great? This sermon intends to help you hear God's voice and direction for your life. And after listening to the CD, pass it along to a friend who needs encouragement as well. Call us with your donation and make your impact toward making disciples through this ministry. And if you're listening in the United States, you can call 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. That's insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you to join us again Monday to hear Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God's Astonishing Love, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.